You know, I've led worship in quite a few places, even across the world. But it's interesting that when people kind of, you know, rush into church in the morning, then everyone is like very chirpy and full of smiles. But as soon as the worship and the praise starts, then everyone's like, you know, like dead serious. Just very amusing to me. Yaku and David. David's preaching in Weybridge. I think he'll be with us shortly. And they just asked me to share a bit this morning, just around, I guess, the topic of praise and worship. But what I want to focus on is more, I suppose, I just kind of want to take you on, I guess, my journey. And the reality is, I mean, the only thing that you can really speak from, I suppose, is your experience, isn't it? That's probably the most kind of real thing that you can share. So I'd just like to pray before we kick off. Not like we haven't prayed enough. Dong, I'm going to use this screen as my Bible, all right? Thanks. But let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word doesn't change. God, even as we sang, Lord, thank you that this is why we're here. Is to, Lord, just lavish our praises on you. Is to give everything, Lord God, that we have. And everything that we do have, Lord, is what you've given us. And we really just desire to give that back to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would come and, just anoint my words. Father, I pray that, that you just breathe your spirit upon every scripture that would be read, Lord, every word that would be said, and that you, in the end, would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you know about kind of our journey as a family, Joe and I and Olivia. I guess the last, let's see, 2011, about 3 years, 2 years maybe, 2.5 years. It's probably, in all honesty, it's probably been the most challenging of my entire life. I think, you know how they say moving, for one, is like one of the most stressful things in one's life, right? So we've done it 21 times this year. we're in house 21 as we speak, and we're busy relocating to South Africa. So that on the side, but in 2011, I was made redundant. So that was kind of a first, you know. And although God kind of prepared me for it and all that kind of stuff, you know, so it's easy to kind of get spiritual about it and say, well, God prepared me, so it could have been worse, and it could have been worse. But the fact is, you know, to be made redundant is not easy, is it? And Olivia had just been born, actually, a couple of months before that. So I guess as a parent and as a kind of a new father, that was quite challenging. And I think for a while, I've probably been... can I have some water, if you don't mind? Thank you. Thanks, Shemima. So I think for a while, I've been in... probably in denial. Not in denial, but I suppose what I was challenged with is how it's actually important just to stand still, you know, on those milestones, really, or I don't know if you want to call it a milestone, maybe a crossroad, and actually just kind of, you know, you don't have to like camp there, but you can just kind of stand still and just, you know, assess what's going on and maybe work through your emotions and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so that's one of the things that happened to me and to our family. And so then I started my own business, which, you know, takes a while to kind of kick off. And Joe, obviously, she went back to school, and then she finished at Little Gate as well. So in terms of income, it was, you know, it was quite challenging. But again, that aside, you know, it's difficult when those kind of things happen to kind of stay joyful, or, you know, to stay appreciative of life and of, you know, things around you. And then, I think a year after that, my mom had been struggling with, she had a stroke 4 years ago, and in March this year, she passed away. So it was like, you know, a lot of, I guess, big things that happened in a kind of a short course of time. And to add to kind of the stress of, you know, setting up a business and trusting God for literally every single, you know, penny coming in, there wasn't any salaries coming in, I mean, you can try and put yourself in that position. I mean, I'm sure there are many people that go through similar things, and like I say, I'm just sharing my story, and hopefully, you know, we can look at a few principles, and certainly something that God's busy teaching me through this. So, you know, it's not like what I'm going to say, I've got it down, and it's very much, this is what I've learned from my experience, and what I'm still kind of growing in, I suppose. So the redundancy, my mum, you know, setting up business, having your first child has its challenges in itself. So kind of all those things together was, to say the least, quite challenging. And I just realized, you know, I think it's our natural tendency as humans to always kind of veer towards the negative, isn't it? We tend to look at our whatever situation we find ourselves, and I mean, you get more positive people than, you know, some people are more positive than others, but generally I think it's easy to see and to kind of focus in on the negative stuff, and to kind of lose sight of, you know, what God is doing and what is going your way, and, you know, the things that are working out. What kind of pinned it down for me when I realized, actually, you need to make a few shifts in terms of, you know, my attitude or my, you know, posture towards just life. And I guess, again, if things just get added and you just kind of carry on with life, then you tend to become very, very kind of negative. And that was me. And like I say, the thing that pinned it down for me was when we applied for our naturalization a couple of months ago. So Joe and I are sitting in, we did the checking service, right? So you submit your papers and then they send it all. So we're sitting in this meeting, right? Joe and I, we're both in the same meeting. You know, we hear the same stuff, but I walk out there, I'm just as miserable as anything. I'm just like, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, I was just like mad at the whole world. And she was like so, you know, positive and so encouraging, and so she was just convinced that, you know, things will be fine. And I was just cross. I don't know what on earth is going on. My point being, you know, when you focus on the wrong thing, it escalates to the point where that's kind of your view of life. And I suppose, especially, you know, if you go through life with loads of disappointments, you know, and you don't actually just sit still and kind of work through it, it just puts you in that attitude and that mode where you just see everything, you know, you just see the wrong stuff all the time. I mean, a famous story, you know, in the Bible about the Israelites, you know, that God that called Moses to lead them out of Egypt. So, you know, there they are in front of the Red Sea. There's an amazing miracle, the Red Sea parting and going through the Red Sea, you know, and being in the wilderness, the manna, the quail, you know, the pillar of light, for goodness sake, or fire, the cloud by day, and still somehow they were just murmuring. And that can be us, can't it? So often, God is doing amazing things around us, but just because our attitude, for whatever reason, our attitude towards life is not that of appreciation or that of thanksgiving. And that's really what I want to talk about. I called it praise habit, which is really what I believe God just wants us to cultivate, a culture, you know, in our families. And this is what I've been challenging with, a culture of thanksgiving, a culture of, you know, gratitude, appreciation of what is going, you know, what God is doing. And I really believe that if we focus on what is going our way, if we focus on what God is doing, it'll transform. If we choose, and it is a choice at the end of the day, you know, we don't always feel like, you know, I don't always feel like standing up here and singing praise songs. I think often people think as a musician you kind of roll out of bed and then, you know, you're happy and ready to go, but you're not. So I think this is partly been probably where some of my sanity has come from. Obviously the Lord and His mercy. But the fact that I kind of had to sing, even if I didn't feel like it. But so Psalm 104, it's a well-known scripture. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Let's have a look and see what the Message translation says. So just the next slide. It says, enter with the password thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise, worship Him. And the one thing I've realized as well in raising a child, and you know, guys like you, I'm sure, you know, with more than one, I'm fresh in this. But one thing I have realized is that, you know, if you focus on, you know, what in our case, what Olivia is not doing right, or, you know, where she's failing, if you focus on that the whole time, you're going to crush that little spirit in no time. But if you focus on celebrating her and celebrating, you know, what she is doing right and what is happening, you know, what is not right is, it shouldn't actually be a biggie. That's kind of by the way, but we and you know, in general relationship, whether it's husband and wife or, you know, whatever, you know, church environment or friendships or whatever, you know, if we celebrate what is, I really believe that speaks and breathes life into those relationships. And that's essentially what praise is. By definition, and obviously in our context, and when it comes to our praises to God, the definition for praise is speaking well of and celebrating with excitement, so a smile on your face, but celebrating the person for who he is or she is, and for what they do. That's what praise is, isn't it? It's amazing that, especially over the weekends, but this culture, there's loads of praise happening all the time. You know, if you go and watch a football match, there's loads of praise happening. You know, some people are even on their knees and they're like going for it, praising. Hey, have you seen it? Of course you've seen it. And that's praise. And I really believe that what's happening there, God wants to bring back into the church. And I think the church, and I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about the bigger body, I grew up in a church where, I think when I was about Olivia's age, up to maybe 9 or 10 or whatever it was, it was such a vibrant church. Everyone was praising, everyone was dancing, young and old. You know, dancing and jiving is not reserved for the young, it's for all of us, isn't it? But towards the end of my school career, it was kind of a progression. So this is where we started. Everyone was going for it. And towards the end, we got to a point where everyone was sitting during praise. You know, from what praise really is, and we'll look at that soon, to sitting down while you're praising. Was quite, and I mean, today that church doesn't exist anymore, just because of that progression. And what praise really is, I just said what the definition is, but what praise, the word, refers to is to establish worth to whatever you're praising, right? So to attribute worth to the thing you're praising. So basically, if we attribute worth to God, if we lift him up, there's actually a scripture that says if we do that, he will draw men to himself, which is quite amazing, actually, if you think about it. It's not really even something we have to, you know, physically go out and drag people along. If we focus on, again, giving God the praise that is due, then he will draw men. And not only, obviously, when we come together, but when we're out there, if we live, you know, our lives. I mean, it's so cool when you drive in your car. And this culture is generally better than, I think, where I come from. People are much more gracious when it comes to, you know, letting you in, into the traffic, and. But it's so nice to just kind of, you know, receive a hand of, you know, thank you. But if you don't, it's actually quite annoying when you've let someone in and you don't get a thank you. Eh? Or was it just me? Okay. But gratitude or appreciation or thanksgiving or praise, whatever we want to call it, it's a powerful thing. There I said it. So appreciation or praise, it means to prize or to price or to put a price tag on it. And like I said, it talks about adding value or worth to something or to someone, whoever you're praising. So, talking about establishing a culture of praise, whether it's in our families or whether it's in the church or in small group or, you know, wherever we find ourselves, I believe, number one, that it is a lifestyle and it should be a lifestyle. And again, it's something we have to decide to do. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to feel like it always. You're not going to feel like, you know, saying thank you, or you're not going to feel like lifting your hands or jumping or dancing or, you know, whatever the expressions of praise are, which we'll get to now. But it is a lifestyle, and I believe that's what God wants us to get to. In Psalms 95:1-2 says, come, let's shout praises to God, raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. Now, you are listening to someone that's not necessarily, you know, the most expressive person in the world. I remember when especially when you're a teenager, and again, the same back to the church that I grew up in. You know, especially when it comes to the church environment, you first of all, not kind of used to it, and then, you know, if they're not people in your peer or your you know, the same age, then, you know, you kind of feel quite self-conscious. Even though I've been saved since I was six or something. But I remember just kind of, you know, watching this deal, everyone going for it and dancing and carrying on, and there was I, not kind of knowing what to do with myself. And you know, so if you're at that place, don't stress or, you know, condemn yourself. But there is a place that God wants us to get to, where you can experience that freedom, where you can experience, and again, if you're like me, then I too just do it in my room for ages until, you know, I felt a bit, you know, like I can kind of shake my booty, you know. So initially I was like, you know, you kind of do the penguin thing, so no one can see. You know the penguin thing. So you raise your hands that high, so no one else can really see it, but at least God can see it. But you know, it's like a step in the right direction. And you know, initially it feels like the heaviest thing in the world to like lift your, just like that. And I mean, eventually, you know, you kind of get to where you can raise your hand, you know, higher than your head. But it kind of goes into, you know, it goes in stages. You do the penguin thing, and then maybe there, and, you know, then maybe a little bit higher, and then eventually, you know. So what I'm wanting to say is, you know, don't stress out if you're not experiencing that freedom, but just know that God desires us to just be free. You know, and free people are free, aren't they? And if we're free, others will see and will desire that. And the great thing is that we spoke about this little light this morning. But we've all got flames burning on the inside of us. And God says to fan the flame that's burning inside of us. And the great thing is, when we come together, you know, when you put two flames together, or three, before long you'll have a fire going. And the challenge is, you know, before, in my view at least, church on a Sunday or whenever we have church should be a celebration of what God is doing in our lives. You know, it's not just I get fueled up for the week. It certainly includes that. But the great thing is, when we come with an attitude of, God, I am just giving it all to you right now, because I have this moment now. I might not have it next week. I hope I have it next week, but I've got it now, and I'm going to give you everything that I've got. God never, never lets us down in terms of responding to that, because it's really an invitation. And the scripture says in Psalms, I have it here somewhere, I don't think it's on there. I'll find it now. But God, but he says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So God inhabits the thanksgiving and the gratitude and the appreciation that we bring him. He loves it. He's a, you know, he's at the end of the day, he's a father, and he desires relationship with us, and we've got that relationship, and we can show our gratitude. So as I say, number one, it is a lifestyle. Ephesians 5 verse 20, if you can put it up there, Dong, says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this has been my struggle, I think, to, you know, when when the rubber hits the road, when you know things are against you, to give God thanks and praise always in all things, even when the guy doesn't say thank you when you let him into the traffic. It's not easy. If it was easy, I think they would have done it at Disneyland as well. Psalm 34, verse 1, King James Version, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. So again, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually, at all times, always. It's not easy, but it's possible. And it is a decision, isn't it? Number two, it's in fact not an option, fortunately. It's amazing when it comes to God's commandments, whatever he's commanded us to do, it's always for our benefit. It's never actually for his benefit. It's quite interesting. Okay? That God commands us to, then I certainly had a very negative connotation to a commandment. It's like, okay, so I don't have any say in the thing, which is right. But if God tells you something, then it's actually for your benefit. It's not to be a killjoy or do all those things, but it's actually for your benefit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, there it is again, in everything give thanks or show appreciation, for this is the will of God. So it's actually the will of God. If you want to know what the will of God is give thanks always in all things, at all times. Show appreciation. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made known to all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good. So giving thanks is good and it's acceptable in the sight of our Savior. And it's really, if you think about, I mean, you know, not everyone necessarily finds it easy to say thank you or to, you know, show appreciation. I mean, I'm just talking about generally, you know, in the world. It's not always, you know, some people really have the gift of encouragement, you know. When you're around them, yes, you just feel good about yourself. You know, you just kind of want to hang around them because they're always encouraging and celebrating and, you know, always seeing what you are doing right. But again, God exhorts us to make a decision to live like that, you know, within our families, within our marriages, within our church, wherever we find ourselves. Live a life of just gratitude towards God, towards others, and it's actually good for yourself as well. Because the reality is, if we're not showing that kind of gratitude, well, towards each other or to God for that matter, we're really just thinking about ourselves, I think. So it's cultivating a generous spirit, isn't it? Thanksgiving. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Paul says, I'm bound to give thanks. And that word means to be obligated. And it's quite interesting that he uses that word, because he is like, you know, the one that speaks against being bound and being bound to people or to things and. But the importance, which is, I believe, what he's trying to bring across, the importance of thanksgiving, like I say, towards others and especially towards God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Again, I thank my God always. It's amazing how he always starts his letters with a thank you. And remember the first scripture we read, Psalms 104 in the message, said, come with a password, thank you. And that's why we start with the fast songs. You know, and if that's how you distinguish, you know, praise from worship. I mean, praise and thanksgiving, it's all intertwined. So it's all the same thing. When we're praising, we're thanking, and we're showing appreciation to God, to who he is and to what he's done. But come with the password, thank you. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. An action word, cultivate. It's not just going to happen. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, I forget where it is now, but it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, no one's going to do it for you. You have to put it on. And again, I mean, praise is not always, it's not always a sacrifice, is it? I mean, there's often where it's really an overflow of gratitude, of thankfulness. And especially when we decide to cultivate a culture, if we decide to cultivate just an attitude towards life, towards others, towards church, our leaders, whatever it is, if we cultivate that, it'll bring us to that place where thankfulness and praise is coming from that overflow. But it often starts with, you know, just making a decision to live life with that attitude. Number three is not, it's not just a feeling. So, you know, if my wife cooks me an amazing meal and I'm really like thankful in my heart, but I don't actually tell her that I'm thankful, it's not really gonna do any good, is it? If I'm just feeling like I'm really thankful. But thankfulness, it's physical, it's an action. You know, I need to actually say in words that I'm thankful. Thank you for this amazing meal, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, like Chris helped me the other day with these whiteboards. You know, I can just kind of go off and do my own thing, but take time to say thank you. Thanks, Chris. I really, really appreciate it and mean it. You know, when we come into church, when we sing our songs, let's put our hearts behind what we say. You know, let's not just get into the motion of, you know, we do the fast songs and we kind of set up and getting ready for the message, but let's put our hearts behind it. Because there's a difference, you know, in just repetitively and ritualistically kind of mumbling off words. You know, whether it is, again, in our relationships around us, or our relationship with God. Let's make a decision and put our hearts behind our appreciation. Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Let's see, have you got the message translation there? It says, look at him, give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. We sing this kid's song, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. So with your whole being. And that's what what praise really is bringing our whole being and praising God with all we've got. Interesting thing about praise, if you study it some more, praise is verbal and it's outward, whereas worship, you know, someone can be lying on the floor, you know, could be either sleeping or it could be worshiping, but you know, you don't actually know. God knows, because that's worship. But praise in its nature is seen, needs to be seen. It's public. That's why we come together in a place like this. That's why we're singing with loud voices. We'll read a couple of scriptures now that talks about expressions of praise. And as I said earlier and before, it's an act of generosity. Thanking people, thanking, you know, just being gracious or grateful rather, and appreciative towards people around you. And it speaks life into relationships. As I mentioned, with, you know, raising up Olivia, I found myself, and especially because we've moved 21 times, so you know, in every new house there are new boundaries. But I found myself always like saying, no, don't do this, no, don't do this, no. So that kind of created that culture of, you know, don't do this, no, don't. Constantly, that's what it was like. And I realized this is not actually speaking life into this relationship I'm establishing with her. And that's the power of thanksgiving, or the power of celebration, power of appreciation. It speaks life into relationships. And into our relationship with God, which is what I'm really wanting to highlight. Like I said in at the beginning, I believe God wants to establish like a stronghold of people praising Him. And as the scripture says, if we do that, He'll draw all men to Himself. If we lift Him up, He will draw all men to Himself. And be specific. You know, when you show your appreciation, when you show your thankfulness, look at what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. I don't think it's up there, but I'll read it. He says, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that you've come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches. So he's quite specific in his appreciation towards people in this case. And having said all that, what does it look like? So what does praise look like in terms of our church life? The scripture I quoted earlier is in Mark 12 verse 30. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then he goes on to say, forget not all His benefits, which brings me back to the point of, you know, let's focus on what God is doing. And when we do that, the things that aren't in place, they not really, you know, they shouldn't be these mountains in front of us. They'll just be things that will be sorted out. But let's focus on who God is, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. There's another scripture that talks about making our supplications known with thanksgiving. So even thanking God before things are done. Remember Paul and Silas, they were praising or thanking or singing their appreciation to God before they were set free from that prison, weren't they? Moses sang praises to God before the Red Sea was parted. Which, you know, I think everything in this world that we're living in, again, is geared to have us focus on what's not in place. I heard over the radio this week that our mayor, Boris Johnson, said that greed is a good thing. So the spirit of the world, in other words, what you don't have, because that's essentially what greed is, isn't it? Getting and acquiring more and more and more, i.e. I don't have enough, so I want more. And this is what we need to guard ourselves against. And it's amazing, as I was kind of pondering this and thinking about you know, just this praise habit, as I call it. Everywhere I looked in terms of the body of Christ, everyone was talking about thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. And I realized that America has their Thanksgiving Day at some point, and that they have it. Yeah. So it was really encouraging to know that, you know, I really believe this is God's heart for now, and especially for this church and where you guys are now. You know, there's lots to actually celebrate in terms of this coming together, the new venue. I'm personally very excited about the merger or the convergence. And especially about praise, you know. And it's not the duty or the role of the worship team either. I just say that. It's when we come together for one purpose, to bring our appreciation to God and to no one else. So let's come always, let's live our lives with that attitude of being thankful, looking for things. Literally, you have to make a decision to look for things to be thankful for. And as I say, I'm still growing in it. I'm having to every single day make a decision to actually look at things to be thankful for, because they're loads. If you actually sit down and you think about what to be thankful for, God's been providing 21 homes for us to live in over the past year, you know, with all its stresses and with all the things that were tough and. Fact is, God has provided those homes, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful. And I really just want to encourage you to, you know, speak life into each other's lives, speak life into this church, and into what you have. Can't believe our time is drawing to an end here in London. You can't actually believe that, for me, 7 years have kind of flashed by, really. And, you know, the new season if you will have its own challenges, and it will have its own storms and great times all alike. But God says to give thanks in all things and at all times, always rejoicing. And that's certainly my goal and my challenge, is to make a concerted effort to be thankful. You know, not only in my relationship with my wife or my Olivia, with everyone, and especially towards God. So I just quickly want to go through the expressions of praise, and then I'd like us just to, with that in mind, we'll just continue worshiping a bit at the end. I'll hand over to David. But you know, as we come to God, let's just think about all those things that He has done. You know, all those things that He is busy doing right now in our lives, in the lives of others around us that we're in touch with, you know, in the life of our church, whatever it is. Let's constantly think on those things. The other thing I realize is that the grass is not greener on the other side. Because the problem is, if I don't learn to change my attitude, you know, if I don't cultivate this attitude of thanksgiving, I'm actually still going to wake up with me, right? And often we live our lives in the, you know, in the then, if only I can be there, if only I can do that or be this, or, you know, I wish I was there or whatever. This is my challenge, to live a life of gratitude right here and right now. And I was thinking of the scripture about, you know, being content with what you have. And again, that was always like one of those scriptures where you like, okay, so I can't really desire or dream or whatever. But it really just means just live a life of thanksgiving. Just live a life of being thankful for what's going right, what you have. It doesn't mean don't desire or have vision, or, you know, don't do those things. It just, as far as I'm concerned, means live that life of gratitude towards God, towards others. You know, let's change our posture with seeing the glass half full rather than half empty. Expressions of praise. Psalm 134. Maybe you can jot this down if you're taking notes. It says, lifting of hands. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 149 verse 3 talks about dancing. It says, let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 66 verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. And Psalm 81 verse 1 says, sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. And as I said earlier, it's a public declaration. Psalms 40 verse 10 says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Psalm 150:3-5 says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. I was hoping to have Jez here this morning, but he's away, our trumpeter. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. So that's why we do. It's not because we charismatic or we're trying to be different or you know, it's just because it's supposed to be loud, right? It's supposed to be heard. It's not supposed to be concealed. Musical instruments and accompanying singing. Second Chronicles 5 verse 12. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman, and that guy, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. So those are a few of the expressions of praise. Lifting hands, dancing, clapping hands, joyful shout, musical instruments, lifting of hands. You know, and as I said, if you're not in that place now where you feel that liberty to dance or to clap or to lift your hands or whatever these expressions are, you know, this is an encouragement to get you to that place. Don't stay where you are. You know, and just because I shared what I shared this morning, you know, unless you take it and you have it become your revelation, not my secondhand handout now, it's not going to make a difference in any of our lives, really. And that's what faith is, isn't it? It's for that, in a sense, intangible to become your tangible and your experience. And often, you know, we get excited about what God is doing in someone else's life, or you know, even the word that's preached. But we don't move beyond the point where we make that word, we make it our own. You know, and we run off with that excitement, and we think it's faith, but it's not really. It's an excitement. It's not. You know, we need to take it, and we need to trust God to make it our own. So, as I hand over today, again, just with this in mind, you know, as we enter into praise specifically, let's just bring our gratitude and an attitude of gratefulness and appreciation and an attitude of praise to God. Amen.
Thank you, Gibby. Please stand. Would anyone like an instrument? There's more. When Yaku and I met with the chief executive of Grenfell and one of the employees, they said to us, some churches can be noisy. So they're not here. It's not that they're watching us and there's no cameras, but from the host side, they're not expecting you to be quiet or reserved. And I just want to share one scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 11. And Paul writes this. He says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And then he says, "I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." I'm not going to preach on those in any way. But Paul's talking about the restoration of order. And order doesn't mean that you have to be quiet in church. Order means that we acknowledge. So if Gibby's leading worship, then we allow ourselves to be led by him. Order also means that we follow the example of others. Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So if you see somebody who's following Christ's example, following scripture, then you can follow them safely. So it might be that you have a desire to learn an instrument and then pursue that desire. It might be that you don't, but we're not going to do any grade exams for these timbals and shakers and tambourines. Because as was said, Gibby said that God sees our hearts. We don't praise and worship for each other. It is public. We do it for him. So other people see it, but it's not that we allow that to determine how we do it. If you see a child with their parents, a young child will greet their parents, whether they're on their own or the whole world is watching in the same way. And God is our Father. So as we come to him, let's praise and worship. What I'd like you to do is just, sometimes we do it with the children, popcorn prayers, just kind of a phrase or a sentence, and you declare that praise or thanks, and then pass it, you kind of pass it on. No, we're not going to do the pop, the children like that bit at the end of the prayer. But just to get back into thanksgiving before we go into praise, just thank God loud, and we'll say an amen, different ones of us, not long.